Sport on RTE Radio 1.
You look all happy and excited, you know, well, the weekend ahead of you.
It's a great weekend ahead, and we'll talk about what's coming up in a moment. The Masters is underway. It was affected by the storm, but Bryson DeChambeau is outstanding. He's 7 under par, and the world number one, Scottie Scheffler, 6 under par. They're very much the front two. Rory McIlroy, happy enough, he's 1 under, and the defending champion, John Rahm, is 1 over par. Shane Lowry and Tiger Woods are amongst 27 players whose rounds were curtailed by darkness. Lowry, level par, he has to resume with 2 holes to play. Tiger Woods is 1 under after 13. Rory McIlroy reflected on his round afterwards, speaking to Greg Allen.
You know, I got off to a slow start, so to bounce back and, you know, string together a nice run of golf there over the next 12 or 13 holes was very nice, ruining the finish a little bit, but overall was, you know, it was a steady run of golf, a little scrappy here and there, but, you know, it was good to get in under par.
You've done a bit of thinking about how to approach this week, and it's slightly different to other weeks. You had a very good final round in Texas last Sunday. In a way, is this sort of validation on a windy day, 71, which could have been better? Is that sort of validation for how you've prepared?
I think so. I think it's a validation of more of my mindset coming in here, and yeah, maybe a little bit of the preparation. And you know, I didn't feel like I was at my best at all out there today, but I was able to manage my game and get it around, and you know, keep it under par, which was good, because in previous years I haven't been able to do that. And you know, and then you're really trying to play catch up from there, and trying to play catch up on this golf course is pretty difficult.
8 months since the last major, there's so much anticipation ahead of the Masters, but you're up and running now and you're into it. 71 subpar and you're ready to go. Is that a feeling you have?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I sort of like these conditions in major championships, because you don't feel like the field is going to get away from you too much. Obviously Scotty and Bryson have both shot really good scores today, but with the conditions over the next 24 hours, you know, Scotty played a lovely round of golf today, and you know, there's pretty good likelihood that he'll go out and play pretty similar tomorrow. But you know, I just have to play my own game, and I know that if I play the way I know that I can play right now, that you know, I can shoot something in the 60s and be in a good position going into the weekend.
That's Rory McIlroy. Now, another big story from last night. Liverpool, described by many as their worst performance under Jurgen Klopp. They were beaten 3-0 at Anfield by the Italian side Atalanta. So their hopes of making the Europa League final in Dublin next month, very slim indeed. West Ham conceded 2 late goals. They lost 2-0 at Bayer Leverkusen, while in the Europa Conference League, Aston Villa hung on for a 2-1 home win over Lille. Tonight's Premier League action, we already heard from Shelburne boss Damien Duff about the threat posed by their rivals Bohemians tonight. Derry City go to Drogheda, Shamrock Rovers host Sligo. It's Dundalk versus St Pat's and Waterford versus Galway. The First Division leaders, Cork City, are at UCD. Now, it's a huge weekend in rugby. We've already heard about the women's international game against Wales and Cork. And in Dublin, there's a repeat of the European Champions Cup final of the last couple of years. Leinster meeting La Rochelle, Ronan O'Gara's team. What a game in store. And we're joined now by Donal Lennon. And Donal, you've been up close and personal with the French side this week.
I have, Des. Yeah, I got a call from, as you know, La Rochelle were basing themselves in Cork all week, having flown in from Cape Town. But, you know, the weather has been so bad. Obviously, the pitches that Rog had arranged to train on weren't fit for purpose. So he rang me late on Monday in a bit of a panic. Could I sort out Temple Hill and Cork Con for them? No,
I had to tell him straight away.
Well, I couldn't let him down, Des, to be fair. But I did tell him we're playing Clontarf in an All-Ireland League semi-final on Saturday week. If it was this weekend, there was no way La Rochelle were coming in, I can tell you. Okay. But no, we were delighted to have them. They were an absolute joy to deal with, really respectful, all their big name players just mixed with everybody, great humour among them. But when they got down to the serious stuff in training, you can see they're going to pose a serious threat for Leinster, but I think Leinster know that already.
Yeah, more than a serious threat, given they've kind of dominated Leinster. How do you see it going?
Yeah, look, it's incredibly different. I mean, this time last week I was on with you, I was pretty certain that Leinster were going to beat Leicester in Dublin. Unfortunately, I felt Northampton would beat Munster. Both of those transpired, but this one is more difficult to call. La Rochelle haven't been going well. They've only won 10 of their 20 games in the top 14. They'd be out of the Champions Cup, but for Manny Libbok missing a conversion at the Debt in Cape Town. But you can see there's something about them. They have no fear of Leinster. They're really relaxed. And as I say, once they get in, they trained at maybe 50, 60% for most of the week, given their travel schedule and all that. But they're absolutely buzzing for this game. So for me, it's a line in the sand for Leinster, given what's happened. They've lost to La Rochelle in the last three seasons in the knockout stage, so it's a massive game for them. It's incredibly tight. I'd be interested to see basically the teams, a few injury concerns on both, so we'll have to wait and see what transpires there.
Okay, well, we look forward to it, Donald. Thanks for joining us. Donald will be part of the coverage tomorrow. We're live on RT Radio and television with that game tomorrow. In Gaelic Games, Paul Flynn joins us now as we look ahead to the Football Championship. Only mid-April. We're up and running though, Paul.
We are, Des, and we've probably got a bit more excitement than we thought we were going to get last weekend. Obviously, Waterford's win and Wicklow's win too. So Wicklow are now rewarded with a challenge against Kildare this weekend. It'll be a tough task for them. Kildare had a training camp down in Photo Island last week, so they'll be hoping that press reset for them. But for me, the games of the weekend are Dublin taking on Meath in Croke Park and Armagh and Fermanagh up in Ulster. With this Meath team, obviously the last day out against Longford, they kicked 218 from play. Fantastic kicking. They've got really good spread as forwards. Owen Frayne, Jordan Morris, Matthew Costello, James Conlon. They've got pace from Jaxie O'Connor. So there's a real threat in the Meath attack. There's gaps in the defence. But look, we've seen in the league final, these open games can create chaos, and who knows what can happen. I think it might be a little bit too early in their journey. For Dublin, it's just about how do they respond from the league final, and do we see the reintroduction of the likes of Stephen Cluxton, Michael Fitzsimons, and the one I'm really looking forward to seeing coming back onto the pitch is Lee Gannon. I think we really need him there too. So I'm going to go for a Dublin win, but it'll be really interesting to see where Meath are at this stage in their journey. And then up in Ulster, it's Armagh taking on Fermanagh is the game of the weekend for me. I watched this game in the league and it was a close game, except for a purple patch in the second half from Armagh that got 5 points on the trot that just really killed off the game. And this is the thing with Armagh for me. They have to go on the front foot. They can't sit back. Okay, they've got a rock solid defence and they only let in a couple of goals against Cork in the league. That was it. But they really have to go on the front foot now and use that defensive structure to help their attack. They have the talent up there. It's just about the decision making, whether they want to go for it or whether they want to sit back. And we've seen what happens in the league final when they sit back. Fermanagh, they've got threats. They've got good guys in the back in the Cullen brothers. They've got McGullion and McCusker in the half-back line that can cause threats going forward. And Garvin Jones and Ulton Kem up front have got real class about them. So it'll be a tough game for Armagh first day out. They're saying this is a softer side of the draw in Ulster, but they really have to get themselves to an Ulster final. And I'm going to predict that they're going to get over the line in that tight game. So another exciting weekend to get us going in the championship.
Yeah, there's loads of them. Thanks for joining us, Paul Flynn. Rowing as well, it's a big weekend for the Irish rowing team. Just 3 months out from the Olympics, they compete today at the World Cup event in Varese in Italy. And in racing, it's Grand National weekend. The famous race will be live on Saturday Sport. It's dominated by Irish horses, though. Here's our commentator, Owen Ward.
Des, I think we could nearly call this the second Irish National of the year at this stage, because even though it is a smaller field this year, we've 34 runners instead of the usual 40 as a new safety measure, but Irish trained horses completely outnumber their British counterparts. There'll be 26 Irish horses at the start tomorrow compared to just 8 from Britain, and unsurprisingly it is those powerhouse stables of Willie Mullins and Gordon Elliott who have the biggest teams. They'll both saddle 8 runners, and this could be a big factor in Willie Mullins' bid to potentially also become the champion trainer in Britain for the first time. Aya Maximus looks to be his big hope. He won the Irish National last year. He's the pick of Paul Townend, but he does have his own way of jumping, so that does seem to be the big question mark. If we're to then look at some of the other Irish challengers that are not trained by Willie Mullins, well, it's been 18 years since Martin Brazel won the big race with number 6 Valverde, and he looks to have a really strong hope this year in Panda Boy. And what about Mahler Mission? He's trained in Stamullen by John McConnell. This has been his target all season long. We know he's a strong stayer, which you're going to need to be this year after all the rain that we've had in recent weeks. And what an opportunity too for his jockey Ben Harvey on his first ever ride in the National. So, Des, we know we've 6 fewer horses this year, but it's still as challenging a puzzle as ever to try and solve.
Yeah, we're trying to solve it here in the studio and failing to do it. That's Owen Ward. And hopefully that race will bring the same drama as we had yesterday on day one of the festival. Imperi Pass had to survive a lengthy stewards inquiry before being declared the winner of the entry hurdle. Willie Mullins, Evans' favourite, getting the verdict from Bob Ollinger, with Langer Dan in third place. Jerry Colombe held off Ahoy Senor to win the ball chase. Action continues there today. There's also racing in Dundalk.
OK, Daz, you enjoy that weekend. Yeah. And